minutes past
6:00, your favorite learning station, Radio Islam, medium wave 154.8, and welcome to the In Focus program on this Monday. With us this evening, we have Mufti Ilyas, and we are discussing the topic Dajjal. And assalamu alaikum, Mufti. Before we go on, Mutisab, we've just had a question on Salah, and we'd appreciate it if Mutisab could answer the question. It's a brother who says, if one comes late for Maghrib Namaz, and in the third rakat, that is, he comes in the third rakat, how must he complete the two he must?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A person came late in the Maghrib Salat. That means, in this question, he joined the Salat, the Maghrib Salat, consists of three rakats, and he came in the third rakat. So, basically, the Imam is in the third rakat, and the latecomer, the Masbuk, he is in his first rakat. So, the Imam has recited in his third rakat Surah Fatiha alone, and the Masbuk, obviously, he followed, completed his first rakat. When the Imam concluded the Salat, the Masbuk will stand up. Now for the Masbuk, the latecomer, it is his second rakat. So he will read the sana, the ta'awuz, the tasmiya, and then he will read Surah Fatiha and join the Surah Fatiha with another surah and proceed for the second rakat. At the termination of the second rakat, he will sit down, recite At-Tahiyyat, and stand up. Now the Masbuk is completing his third rakat. So he will now read Surah Fatiha, join it with another surah. Because technically speaking, the Masbuk missed when he joined the Imam. The Masbuk missed two rakats. That means Surah Fatiha with Surah, Surah Fatiha with Surah. So that is why in his third rakat he will read the Surah Fatiha and Surah and terminate the Salat, meaning he will read again At-Tahiyyat. So technically speaking, this Masbuk would have read three times At-Tahiyyat in a three rakat Salat. Three times At-Tahiyyat in a three rakat Salat, and the rule is that every second rakat sit down to make your At-Tahiyyat. That is the rule. So inshallah that will have explained how to conclude your Salat when you have come for Maghrib Salat at the third rakat, meaning when the Imam is in the third rakat, the follower, the Masbuk, is in his first rakat.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahab. And we are not discussing Salah as such this evening. This was just a request by one of our listeners who wanted an answer on this. And Mufti Sahab was kind enough to answer this for us. Jazakallah. But we are discussing the topic Dajjal. We started about a fortnight ago. And inshallah, Mufti Sahab will carry on with that topic, Dajjal. Before this, we spoke about Mahdi, and that was about a six-part series that we have at Radio Islam. And if you'd like copies of that, you can call us on 854-7022 and purchase that. And inshallah, we carry on with the Dajjal. Maybe just a quick recap, Mufti Sahab, of our last program on Dajjal, and then proceed with this week's program. And the number to call in for this program is 854-6854, or you can fax us on 854-7024 for any questions or any contributions to the topic tonight, Dajjal. Okay, Mufti Sahab.
In the previous program concerning and relating to Dajjal, that is the part 1, and this is the part two. In the part one, I mentioned about minor signs before the coming of Mahdi and Dajjal. Now, the minor signs I mentioned and I spoke a little bit about them. In part two, in this session, I intend also continuing mentioning about the minor signs, because the minor signs have got a direct bearing, a direct link with Mahdi, and in the lifetime of Mahdi comes Dajjal. So that is why I am discussing the minor signs to some extent and to some details, so we can assess how close we are to the coming of Mahdi and the coming of Dajjal. What I intend doing is to continue mentioning minor signs and commenting slowly on them, and then going through the entire list, if time permits, of all the minor signs, and together we can assess how many of the minor signs have occurred already and how many are left, and we can thereby determine how close we are to the time of the coming of Mahdi and Dajjal. Subsequently, I would like to mention the ahadith, all the ahadith pertaining to Dajjal. Then we will take each hadith and comment on each hadith. First, I will mention all the ahadiths, maybe in one session, and then in the next one, comment on each and every of the ahadiths, what the scholars say about those ahadiths. Then we are going to go on to another aspect and speak about the Dajjal plot. Prior to the coming of Dajjal, the smaller Dajjals, because Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has spoken about 30 of them, they will be laying out the network for Dajjal. We will be discussing the Dajjal plot, the schemes, the plans, the ploys, the methods, locally, nationally, internationally, how they are laying this web and entrapping the people. We will discuss the New World Order, the Freemasons, their involvement, and also how few people want to control the whole world, everything relating to setting the scene for the coming of Dajjal. So alhamdulillah, we have got all that for you. Meanwhile, inshallah, we continue mentioning the minor signs. It is stated that women will be naked in spite of being dressed. These women will be led astray and will lead others astray. The hadith comes in Muslim Sharif. As we can see, that these days, to advertise a 5 cents product, the technique is to place some naked or semi-naked lady in front of the advert, so that the people observing and looking will look, instead of what they want to buy, but they will be looking at the nakedness of the ladies. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated in the hadith that there will come a time when women will be dressed, but due to their scant dressing, they will be like having no dress at all. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated in the hadith that the women folk should not wear transparent clothing. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in one hadith meeting stated that the women folk should not wear tight fitting clothing. These days, unfortunately, to follow the fashion of the time, and concerning the fashion of the time, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in one hadith has stated that whomsoever follows the fashion of the time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will dress him in the dress of disgrace on the day of judgment. Now, this is very clear, categorical, and so stern warning by Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam not to hanker and linger after the fashion of the time. These days, unfortunately, men and women want to dress like how the enemies of Islam are dressing. And each one, semi-naked or naked, claims that we are lover of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, we should remember that dressing is an important aspect in Islam, and from childhood, the children should be dressed according to Islam. Generally, we make a basic fundamental error by purchasing. We are the owners of the money, we are the earners of the money, we are the ones in control of the money, and we purchase for our children and our teenagers clothing that is revealing, clothing that is transparent, clothing that is un-Islamic, and then later when things go wrong, we ought to sit and cry. From childhood, the child has to be brought up dressing Islamically. When the child from childhood is not brought up in that fashion, and when the child becomes a teenager and then dresses half naked, and when the parent tells the child, "Now you are gone balig, you should dress properly," then they have arguments, then the fighting starts, and the child replies that you taught me how to dress like this, so for 15 years you taught me how to dress un-Islamically, and within 15 hours you want me to change. How that is possible? So the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that woman will be naked in spite of being dressed. And the hadith goes on to state, these women will lead astray and will lead others astray. They themselves will be astray, will lead others astray. Unfortunately, the pornographical material, the material on nudity, and all these are on the market freely available under the guise of so-called liberalism and democracy. Everybody can access that. So can you imagine how many, unfortunately, are running after looking at naked women, semi-naked women? And it is also very sad that when you go to the bazaars and you will find that the women are not dressed properly, and surprisingly it is brought to our attention that most of them, when they go to these upgrade markets and bazaars, they are Muslims. So definitely we should start dressing male and female properly. Hadith in Ahmad, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that the conquest of Constantinople by the Muslims. Some have stated that this will happen in the time of Mahdi. Some have stated that this will happen just prior to the coming of Mahdi. And those who collaborated, they say that when that army, which we described in detail about, when that army comes from Khorasan and having black flags, when that army comes and it will go through Turkey towards Saudi Arabia, and it is going to go towards Bayt al-Maqdis, then that army is going to conquer Constantinople. Constantinople is the old name for Istanbul. And that army is going to conquer Istanbul without any bloodshed, without any fighting, without any massacre, butchering, nothing. By sheer help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and proclaiming the takbir, Allahu Akbar, that army is going to go through Istanbul conquering. So the sequence, as I see it, is going to be that the army from Khorasan is going to come, pass through Constantinople, and then go towards Bayt al-Maqdis, and after that go towards Makkah al-Mukarramah, where Mahdi will be identified. And after that, when they go to Damascus, Dajjal and his appearance will take place. The hadith in Ahmad, Nasai, Tabrani and Al-Hakim states, the conquest of India by Muslims just prior to the return of Isa bin Maryam alayhi salam. Now here it means that the Muslims will take over India and it will be prior to the coming of Isa alayhi salam. Also, the sequence could be after the coming of Mahdi. That means after the coming of Mahdi and before the coming of Isa alayhi salam. That could be one sequence. The other sequence could be that the army from Khorasan, or there could be a war, and you know that there is a war imminent and is about to perhaps take place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best that Pakistan and India, they are at loggerheads, stalemate, and looking at each other with fiery eyes, waiting who is going to push the button first. Because if there is going to be a war between Pakistan and India, that war will be more on missiles and atomic usage. Unfortunately, it is stated that if there is a war between Pakistan and India, then minimum 24 million lives will be lost on the first, second day of that war. So can you imagine what is going to happen if there has to be an outbreak of war between Pakistan and India? However, the hadith of the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned the conquest of India by the Muslims, but exactly when, we are not sure whether it is going to be before Mahdi or after Mahdi. One, we are sure that it is going to be prior to the descent of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Hadith in Bukhari states, when people begin to compete with others in the construction of taller buildings. Now here it could mean taller buildings in every way. And in the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith of Jibreel, it is very clear that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even stated that those whom you do not expect to have money, they will be those who are going to be constructing high buildings, tall buildings. And those who are going to be the children of the master, of their masters, meaning the offsprings of masters, they are going to supersede the masters by constructing and building tall and huge buildings. Unfortunately, this has become a disease, an ailment in our society. You'll find huge palaces and mansions being built, and when you inquire who's staying there, no, it's just couples staying there. Meanwhile, a whole battalion can stay in that place, but two people come out of that mansion. Sometimes you find four people coming out of that palace. And it's where people are dying, but no shelter on their, over them. People are spending on mortar. It is stated in one hadith, meaning of one hadith, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to destroy your wealth, He focuses your attention upon mud and mortar. Mud, brick and mortar. And the person who builds, he feels, I must keep building. Here also, one I would like to mention, that we at the moment, unfortunately in South Africa, we are competing with each other in the building of masajids. And each area wants to build a masjid more lavish, more elaborate, more decorative, more expensive than the other one. And our masajids are becoming like decorated pieces, and they're becoming so expensive to build, to construct, and then we leave the society, locality with the burden of maintaining those masjids. Whereas, if we look at the Shariat and we study the spirit of the Shariat, that in every 40 families, there's supposed to be one small Jamaat Khana, one small masjid, so that the person can walk towards his masjid, his Jamaat Khana, and make that Jamaat Khana abad, and he can fill that masjid. These days, you hear one area putting one masjid 4 million, another one 5.5. Unfortunately, is it called for? Some areas where you take a population statistics, it will take a couple of generations to fill that masjid. Then we build masjids, huge masjids, so huge masjids, at Fajr time the Imam is there and the Muazzin, and two or three other people are there. is this fair and is this wanted or is this called for? So we should definitely review this, that we should not be building so huge masjids to compete with each other. Also, to take public money and build those huge masjids on the day of judgment, we are going to be accountable for that. There is a hadith in Ahmad, it states, there will be a special greeting for the people of distinction. Unfortunately, we find this too, that we do not want to greet. Whereas the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very clear, that greet the one you know and greet the one you do not know. And you will find, unfortunately, people walking around, and if you are not in that money circle, they do not greet you. And if you are not in that wealth circle, they refuse to greet you. And then there are others, out of haughtiness, arrogance, and pride, they do not want to greet. All these things have to be destroyed for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come. There is one small anecdote here. There was a poor man, it is stated, this poor man, when he was in the locality, no one greeted him. And no one even looked at him properly, as unfortunately is the case in many places. Out of wealth, distinctions are created and caused and maintained. So this poor man, Allah made it so that he became very wealthy. No sooner he became wealthy, everybody began to greet him. And when everybody began to greet him, then when anybody greeted him, then he should say, "Main keh dunga," I will say, I will convey. And anybody greeted him, he'll say, "Don't worry, I will convey this thing. I will say." So in the evening when he should count his money, and he should look at his money, then he should say that, "Oh wealth, today so and so greeted you. Today so and so greeted you. Today so and so greeted you." Because in reality they were not greeting him. When he was a poor person, no one greeted him. Now that he became wealthy, everybody greeted him. Respected listeners, we should take stock of ourselves. And we should worry about this prediction, the prophecy of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There will be a special greeting for the people of distinction. And also, nowadays, because of certain profession, and you'll find a person who's a very good lawyer or a very good doctor or a very good physician, or he's got some art and he knows about some science, he develops some pride, and now he also wants to greet only special people. He only wants to meet special people. He wants to have a special circle. And we have those Muslims who do not want other Muslims to greet them, to know them, to talk to them, to interact with them. This is all un-Islamic. It is stated in a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim that the river Euphrates will disclose a treasure. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that whoever is present should not take anything from it. According to some sources and some research, that via satellite and via satellite photography, they have discovered there is going to be some gold and precious items being sooner or later coming out of the river Euphrates. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated clearly that if this happens, then we should not partake, because there is going to be a rush there. There is going to be the gold rush. Everybody is going to run there, kill each other, massacre each other, and the wealth will remain where it is. So remember, if this happens and we are alive, then we should not take the first plane out of this place and run towards the river Euphrates, because Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said clearly, do not go there and do not take of that wealth. In a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, there will be two large groups adhering to the same religion, teaching same religion ideology, will fight each other with a large number of casualties. Here Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that there is going to be a war between two religious factions. If we look that, and when we discuss sooner or later, that the Christian world is going to realize that the Jews are taking them for a ride. And when the Christian world with its beliefs and ideologies realize that the Jews have been taking them for a joyride for many years, then there is going to be a possibility of war between them. Or we can look from another side, that at the moment that the entire world has lobbied against the Muslims, spearheaded obviously by the Dajjal plots against the Muslims, it could be inference to this also. In the Hadith in Ahmad, it is stated, wild animals will be able to talk to humans. Here, those who are accustomed and those who know are giving certain reports that in remote places this is happening, that wild animals are pointing and talking to Mujahideen that the enemies are going into certain directions. A Hadith in Ahmad, a man will leave his house and his thigh or hip will tell him what is happening back at his home. Now this, remember, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can you imagine when he stated this? 1423 years ago, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about this. And he explained it to the Sahaba. And he stated this hadith. Today, we can see, because of the world and the sophistication of the world, the electronic advancement of the world, that a person can do this very easily. Via video and via the video technology, via closed circuit video technology, a person, he can, while on the street, look at his small video screen and observe what's happening in his house, let alone observe what's happening in his house, he can observe what's happening in his factory, he can observe what's happening in his factory thousands of kilometers literally away, he can observe all those things. And how true the prophecy of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there are people who sit in one city and control their businesses via the videos, and they observe who's stealing their shops thousands of kilometers away. This is done. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated this so many hundreds of years ago. A hadith in Ahmad, years of deceit in which the truthful person will not be believed and the liar will be believed. We can see that no matter how much on international scale first, no matter how much and how much clarification the Muslims make that we are not involved in certain activities, but the world comes out and says, no, you are the terrorist. And no matter how much the innocent Mujahideen say that they are not involved in certain actions of terrorism, but the Western world, and especially the American world, is adamant and concocting lies stating that no, that these Mujahideen are the ones causing difficulty, problems, harassment. Anything in this world at the moment that they do behind the scenes, which we will expose, and which they do, and the public feels, no, who has done this, they blame. Now these days, the key word to blame is Osama bin Laden, Mullah Umar, the Mujahideen of Afghanistan, the Mujahideen of Chechnya, the Mujahideen of Kashmir. No matter how much they clarify the issues, they are the ones to blame. The fundamentalists, the Orthodox Muslims. So, no matter how much of clarification we make, the Muslims make, we are all the time blamed. We are blemished, we are run down, and the media is designed in such a way to run down and to blame the innocent Muslims. On the national levels and local levels, that you find innocent people who, because they do not understand the law of the country, or they do not understand the law of Islam properly, they engage in transaction. And, for example, they loan people money, or they put some money with a person for investment, or they allow some person to do some transaction for them. And they are innocent party. When they go for their loan money back, or they go for their investment capital and profit back, or they go to retrieve their trust back, then the person says, I don't even know you, let alone your grandfather. Who are you? Where you came from? I don't even know that you gave me any money. Meanwhile, that person is supposed to have his transaction as stated in the Quran, documented, signed by witnesses. But he trusts because he's simple. And he trusts because that person has won his confidence, he gives him his money, his property. And what happens eventually? He, the innocent one, is blamed the liar. Then we have in our cases and court cases that an innocent person stands in the dock and the opposition party comes with 3-4 professional paid liars as witnesses. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about this. He stated the curse of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is upon those people who give false evidence. And we find this in our court proceedings, that the lawyers, unfortunately, some of them, not all of them, some of them are unscrupulous, and they prop up false evidence against innocent parties. Can you imagine that when we go in the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, what is going to happen? Where the scales will be set, and we'll be able to make out who was lying and who was on the haq. A hadith in Haytami and Ahmad states that bearing false witness will become widespread, which I have just spoken about, that bearing false witnesses, and the people do this for money. They do this to degrade people, and they do this as a profession. And unfortunately also in family circles and domestic life and amongst family relationship, they will lie about each other, causing difficulties, family fights and family feuds. And when we look at the family fights, you will come to a conclusion that someone, somewhere along the line, is lying wholesale. And unfortunately, because of the lying and the deceit, this whole family is split up and is fighting. A hadith in Ahmad states, in Haytami first, that when men lie with men, and women lie with women. This is mildly Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam beautifully explaining, unfortunately, what is happening today. He's describing, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is describing lesbianism and homosexuality, which is haram, totally haram in Islam. Lesbianism and homosexuality is absolutely haram. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is explaining it to the Sahaba those days. Can you imagine that this is one of the signs of the coming of Mahdi and the coming of Dajjal? This sin has been given so much leeway and so much of freedom under the charter of so-called freedom of choice and freedom of movement and freedom to do what an individual wants to, that this heinous sin of homosexuality and this heinous and pernicious sin of lesbianism has no more been classified in the eyes of people. Oh, it's natural, this is okay, and this is, what is wrong with this? What is wrong? They have got rights, that they are inclined that way, whereas this is completely unnatural. And deen of Islam is natural, and the teachings of Quran Kareem are natural, and the laws of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is to create a natural, pure, wholesome society. And in certain countries it is stated now that a woman can marry a woman and a man can marry a man. And when this sort of laws are passed in their parliaments, then they are applauded by the world, that this parliament in this Western country has passed certain law and has done such a wonderful act by enacting this law, giving the woman now freedom. Why? She can now marry another woman, giving the man freedom, total freedom. Why? Because now he can marry another man. All this is done in the name of freedom, freedom of choice. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is indicating that wait for the hour, wait for the time of judgment, wait for Mahdi, or wait for the time when Dajjal is coming. And these are the minor signs. And this minor sign is spreading. And it is spreading throughout the world. They have movements, they have groups, they have clubs, they have organizations, and they have their lobbies right up to the so-called last level, defending them, protecting them, safeguarding them, all them for freedom of right, freedom of expression, freedom of movement. And these heinous sins, unnatural sins, are taking place in broad daylight. And unfortunately, we have to be on our guard that it does not come into our localities, into our homes. And we'll shortly discuss those hadiths where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one hadith concerning a minor sign, states that when women will behave and dress like men, and men will dress and behave like women. This you see, that unfortunately, that the men walking around and wearing earrings, and coming to the masajid also with earrings, and the imam also, he's worried now, must I scold this person? Because he may just turn out to be one very rich cat's, fat cat's son, and then my job is at stake. So, respected elders, that if your son is wearing earrings and then dyeing his hair in three different colors, then think he may be just be a potential homosexual. And if your daughter is behaving oddly and doing some funny things, then also we'll start worrying. Because it is too late after that, that when your son is running after other boys and your daughter is frequenting other girls, and for endless hours you don't know what is happening, then no Taoist can sort that out. Because that is moral degradation, and that is moral corruption. And that is a thing, once it's in the bloodstream and reaches the brain, it's very difficult to take out that. So you should wake up and realize, and you, as a rule, you should wake up and realize where your son is going, where your daughter is going. And if you give them the amenities of sin, then you must get ready for the result of that sin. Because if you give the leeway and you provide all the amenities of sin, then unfortunately you must get ready when the blacklash comes, and when you will have to face and see your child doing the wrong things, and you will not be able to do anything. In a hadith in Haythami, in Ahmad at least, trade will become so widespread that a woman will be forced to help her husband in business. Now here we can talk very long, that every second person you talk, you ask him what your wife is doing in the business. He said, I have to have family member, otherwise the money will go away from here. And what is your daughter doing in the business? No, you see, you have to rely on someone. And you have to cut cost. Respected elders, one of the fallacies in the whole world is to promote female labor. It is Islam is saying that protection of rights, true rights, that we should protect child abuse. We should definitely stop child labor. And we should protect the woman. And no use that the woman is given so many jobs to do, the end result is breaking up in marriages. Because if you look, what happens, that the woman does more work than the men. And the man, he is the one who takes the capital and the investment. And when there is the dissolvement of marriage, then the woman tries to claim her money that she worked for, and the man does not pay. The woman must realize that she is the queen of the house. And that is what Islam wants her to be. Queen of the house, educator of the house, moral educator of the house, bringer of the upkeep of the children, not a public driver, driving the children around, then making the breakfast, then driving the children around again, then coming back, putting up the lunch, going and standing in the shop, laboring, then picking the children up. So when someone else drives the car, it's a driver. When the wife drives the car, then she is doing rendering service to the husband. So this is Western thought, this is Western ideology, and they befooled us, and we're very happy doing this. The day we realize that the men folk are utilizing and using the women folk as laborers, and we should try to change the setup. Now the women folk, they come into the business, talking to everybody, mehram, ghair mehram, displaying their beauty, displaying their amenities, displaying their fineries, displaying their face and their head. And I'm speaking from a very modest perspective. And unfortunately, you go to certain places and we get reports that that person's wife half naked in the shop, that person's sister semi-naked in that area shop. They go there, and that is why, don't you see that the Western world, when they want to sell a product, no matter how rubbish that product is, to promote it, they will send one half-naked lady to go to sell it to the rich Muslim businessman. So the rich Muslim businessman or other businessman, he does not look at the product, he's looking at something else, and the whole procedure makes the wrong orders, and he does not know what he is doing. So to bring the woman into the business, that is a sign of awa, according to the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A hadith of Ahmad, as I stated, a woman will enter the workforce out of the love for this world. Very clear now. That who could believe that in 1400 years ago, that the woman, she will have to come out right into the heart of business world. And then you will find people, what they talk, say, my wife, she's very progressive. She's very enlightened. Why she's enlightened? Why is she progressive? She understands the dynamics of business economics. And she understands these concepts more than I do. And she understands all these OD and this collateral terminology which the bank manager speaks. And every time I want loan from the bank, then I send her there. This is happening. This happens daily, if not hourly. And the person, unfortunately, sitting in his circle tells his brothers, and he discusses, he says, you see what you know, just put your wife in front, man. She speaks a few good words, and you can have any product bought or sold. And you can have anything done. Why? This is the sign of the day of judgment. And why? Out of the love for wealth. Because you want to live in a house better than the Joneses. You want to keep up to the Joneses. You want to live beyond your means. You want to bite more than you can chew. You want to dress and you cannot afford it. You want to dress lavishly, but you cannot afford it. You want to be exorbitant and you want to be lavish and spend in the wedding and make the wedding totally haram. And catering after the totally haram wedding, you cater one section for Maulanas to sit on the floor, so you legalize your whole proceeding of haram activities in that wedding. So the Maulanas, unfortunately, we also pitch up there, we eat the food sitting on the floor and say, oh, okay, Alhamdulillah, he fed us the sunnat way. But the rest of the activity, 70-80%, totally haram going on there. Man is steeped in interest and OD and is drowning in that. But he's having this affair. Why? His brother had one wedding and spent 20,000. I must have one wedding spending 40,000. Who's going to earn this money? The lady must come to the shop. The wife must come to the shop. The female must come to the shop, displaying everything. Respected elders, that can women participate in business? Yes, they can. They must stay at home and do it. They can do all the work from home. They can control the computers from home. They can do the accountancy from home. They can advise on the buying and selling from home. They can do all those things from home. But once a lady and once the woman folk like to go outside and like to drive around, then that itself is a disease that is virtually uncontrollable. Arrogance will increase in the earth. That you see everywhere going around. Every person who thinks he knows something becomes arrogant. You see that in every field, in every science, in every corner. Even the person who is committing sin boasts about his so-called art of stealing.
And a person who lies, he has been proven time and time and again that instead of beggar dying, but when they looked, he was a millionaire.
So the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that people will be offered food but will refuse. Men will begin to look like women, and women will begin to look like men. I've commented on this when I mentioned that about men wearing earrings. Also, externally, unfortunately, because of the lifestyle and our method of living, that we intentionally dress our females in such clothing that when you look at them, that you cannot make out whether this is a man walking in front or a female walking in front. Because the females, they cut their hair, and their hair sometimes is even shorter than the male, and they dress like the men, so you cannot make out whether this is man and this is woman. And you cannot make out in crowds whether this is male or female. Whilst walking in bazaars, etc., you cannot make out who is the mother and who is the daughter. Because these days there is a tendency that the mother wants to compete with the young daughter to look young, to feel young, and to appear young, and to project young. As a result, now there is competition between the mother and the daughter, who is more naked in look. So this degradation which we are seeing all around us, all these are minor signs. So alhamdulillah, many minor signs have been discussed, and when we come back, I will, in the next program, go over the list of the minor signs and explain and could make a brief comment on each one of them, whether that minor sign has taken place or has not taken place.
Jay, we've got about 5 minutes left, and we have a question that's come in. It says, is Dajjal a system or is it a soul that is coming in a certain appearance?
As I mentioned in the lessons of Mahdi, that towards the end of time there will be three. One is Mahdi, and I mentioned clearly that Mahdi is a pious, righteous personality. And the second righteous personality is Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, who, according to our belief, was not killed nor crucified. He is not dead, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him up physically, bodily, and he is alive in the heavens. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met him on the night of Mi'raj, and he will physically, bodily descend. And one of his major important role will be to locate, find, and kill Dajjal. Here the question says, is it a system or is he a soul? In the light of the hadith, Dajjal is a person. And when we discuss it, we will discuss in detail his features, his looks, physical features, his movement, his attraction qualities, his means of attraction, his methodology of misleading, all that we will discuss. And the other point which I mentioned in the beginning of the program was, there is a Dajjal system in place and also making headway to corrupt, to rule, and try to govern the world via one economical system to suppress and oppress and tyrannize the whole world. So there are two things. One is Dajjal, he is a person. But to lay the foundation and the network for him to come, there is a system which the scholars are writing about and speaking about it. Muslim scholars and also non-Muslim researchers are talking about the system, which is full of corruption, ruin, destruction from every aspect, political, social, economic, moral, every aspect you think of, there is a synchronized, sophisticated, well-greased mechanism, and it is totally orchestrated to ruin and destroy us. This is the Dajjal system that we will be speaking about. And to come as the king of the Dajjal system will be a person which the hadiths are talking about.
Jazakallah, Mustab. It's now 14 minutes past 7 and we have to close, inshallah. Next week we have our InFocus program with Sanha, inshallah. And in a fortnight we'll have Mohsisa back in our studios carrying on with the topic of Dajjal. That's why we've completed part number 2, inshallah. Next week part number 3. And those cassettes are available at Radio Islam on 8547022. Coming up now, our Isha Azan. Stay tuned.